You know, I also want to let you know that they've done surveys on large churches on how come they're so big. You know what? You think it's because there's an anointed message. You know that? Or you think maybe it's because the worship is so good. Or the Holy Ghost is really moving, and that's what draws people to the churches. And they took a survey to find out how come these churches were growing so big. And you know what they said? Somebody invited me. Somebody invited me. And that's why they came. It was none of the other things. Can you believe that? So we at High Point Church had a brilliant idea. Let's invite people to church. Okay, we say that. Everybody said that. We all know that. But we went a step further for you. We've got you all your own personal High Point business cards. And they have all the service times, the church phone number, the church website, the church email, all on it. And on the back, it's got a nifty little map that shows people exactly where we're at. How about that? So we've got a few thousand of these cards. Now I know that if we give every one of those cards away and somebody comes for every card that you give out, the chances are we might have to have multiple services. Which would be exciting, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be nice to drive up and go, there's never a parking place at that High Point Church? That'd be wonderful for people complaining about that because so many people go here. So anyway, I'd like to let you know that these cards are out in the foyer, sitting on the ledge out there, and take yourself some. Take yourself 10, 15, 20 cards and give them out. You know, put them in your purse, put them in your wallet, put them in your pocket, stick them in your cell phone case. Just if you're talking about somebody, it's really easy to say, here, at High Point Church, the tagline says, where church is family. Amen? So go ahead. And sometimes if you have something tangible to hand people, it means just a little bit more to them. Amen? And it's really non-threatening just to invite people. Just to invite them. How many think you might want to do that? Me too. So they're out there, and go ahead and help yourself to a few of those cards. And let's pass them out. Let's just invite people to church and see what happens. Amen? Father, I just bless these business cards in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, we just anoint these cards that as our congregation faithfully invites people to church and hands out these cards, Lord, that seeds will be sown, lives will be changed, and the congregation will grow in numbers. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God. Okay. Those of you that know me know that I don't really follow a format. I gave Debbie a whole bunch of verses, but there's no guarantees, okay? We're going to go with the Holy Ghost. Is that all right? Okay. So as I was talking in my testimony of what happened a couple of weeks ago, the Holy Spirit really conveyed to me something very important. He's a person. You know, we can say that. But I want to let you know, sometimes it's easy to think of him as the power of God. That for healing, for miracles, for words of knowledge, for words of wisdom. It's easy to think of him that way and forget that he's a person that's with me, teaching me, showing me, comforting me, telling me the words to say. It took me back when I realized that he was more of a commodity than a friend to me. And I didn't do it intentionally, you guys. I know the Holy Spirit's a person, but he wasn't a person I particularly was familiar with. Maybe some of you are in the same boat. So we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit like we promised we're going to be doing this entire year. And I want to talk about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, but more than just the baptism in the Holy Spirit, how to minister in the Holy Spirit. How many of you like to be able to minister a little more than you do now in the Holy Spirit? Me too. And you know, one thing that we cannot do, we can, it just doesn't work, is putting him in a box the way that he operates. You know that? He's a lot like wind. You know, wind blows, right? Wind brings oxygen to you. I'm thankful for the wind. But as soon as I try to put that wind in a box, it's not wind anymore. You know that? It's not. Wind blows. And without it blowing, it's not wind anymore. It's just air. Amen? So he is the movement of spirit. The movement of spirit is the Holy Spirit. He's creativity. He's intuition. He's inspiration. That's who he is. So if you're a person that has to operate on spirit, I mean on, what's the other word that I was looking for? Systems. It was an S word. Systems. If you're a person that operates on systems, it's more difficult to flow in the Holy Ghost because he's not a system. He's a person. So to operate with the Holy Spirit, we have to acknowledge the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? As we operate in the Holy Spirit, it can't help but his presence rubs off on us. We call that the anointing. Without the fellowship, the anointing subsides. It's still there, but it's like a battery that hasn't been used. It loses its charge. Is it still work? Sure, it just needs to be charged up a little bit, and then it'll be just fine. Same with the Holy Spirit. Not as a person, but as the anointing. Are you with me? So we have to keep ourselves stirred up in the Holy Spirit. We have to deliberately acknowledge him in all of our ways. And he will direct our paths. He will tell us what to go, where to go and what to do. How many of you, when the Holy Spirit speaks, do you actually hear a voice inside of you when he speaks to you? Not everybody does. It's okay. How many? Raise your hands again high so everybody can see if you actually hear his voice when he speaks to you. Okay, good. I want you to know that his voice can be a booming, loud voice, like when God called Samuel. Samuel! Samuel! Samuel heard it, right? It can be like that. Or it can be the still, calm voice on the inside of us. But nonetheless, he uses his voice to speak to us. How else does the Holy Spirit speak to us? Pictures and impressions. How many of you see pictures or even pictures in movies when the Holy Spirit's speaking to you? Good. A couple of those hands are up twice. Sometimes the Holy Spirit also just gives you an unction, a feeling, a knowing inside. No words, no pictures, just a gut feeling, you know, that God's talking to you. How many of you guys experienced that? Look at how many more of those. Look at how many more of those. Wow. So the majority of us is moved that way. Some of you were moved by all three of those things. I want to encourage you. You can have every way that the Holy Spirit speaks available to you. You learn his voice. You learn his voice. My wife and I had a dog, Elsa. She's gone to be with the Lord. Yes, my dog is in heaven. I'm guaranteeing you, my dog's in heaven. You know why? Because God's that good. He knows how much I love that dog. And because he's that good, that dog will be there. If you guys have an animal that you loved, he'll be there. She'll be there. Don't worry about it. Why? Because you loved them. Just because you loved them. I don't believe there's going to be any mosquitoes in heaven. I just don't think so. You know why? I don't know anyone that has a pet mosquito. You know, you just don't. The best relationship we have with a mosquito is, that's it. Amen? So, we had a dog, and we would take her to the kennels when we'd go on vacation. And we'd have to take our dog to the kennels when we went on vacation because we really didn't have anybody that we can give the dog to, that knew the dog well enough, that we can trust that dog with them, because she was a bit of a nipper, and so we couldn't give her to just anybody. And when, here's my point, when we came back and we came to the counter to get our dog, there were so many dogs barking in that place. Yep, yep, bark, bark, roof, roof, going on. I mean, just barking, all kinds of barking going off. And you know what? Out of all those barks, I heard my dog. In the orchestra of all those dogs, I heard my dog. How could I do that? Because I know my dog. And because I know my dog, I could distinguish its bark from all the hundreds of other barks. Well, there's probably 40 other dogs, 40 other barks. Some of you that are mothers, if your child starts crying in a group of children, I bet you can pick out the sound of your child over other children, right? I'll tell you, we learn to hear the voice. When I'm grocery shopping, no, not grocery shop, like thrift store shopping and store shopping, my wife is bold. She will call my name from the other side of the store. And I do not mean on the telephone. I mean, she'll just shout it out, Robert! I know, that's my wife. I kind of, oh. But you know what I've learned to do? Stop being embarrassed. I go, over here! Let her walk to me for a change, amen? We learn to hear his voice, and you and I grow in that relationship by spending time with him. So you say, Robert, he said in that vision you had that he wanted to show you stuff. How does he show me stuff? You know, I want to let you know, I asked him that same question because it's been a couple of weeks. And this morning, as I was waking up, that's why I'm sharing this today. This morning, as I was waking up, he was showing me in my dreams. Dreams are from God. Not all of them. Some of them are from Marco's Pizza. But some of them are from God. And you know what? I want to let you know there's different levels of dreams. There's those God spoke to me dreams when there's just no doubt at all that's God, right? You guys had some of those where it's God, there's just no doubt about it. He told you something and you knew, oh, that's, he cut through all of the minutiae. That was God. Then there's dreams where he's interacting with me. And he started showing me some things about my life. In the way that I was acting and being myself in my dreams. He was showing me how being myself in my dreams and what I was dealing with, it's not like that in heaven. It's not like that in heaven. So I woke up knowing there's some things in my heart still. The way I believe, the way I respond, that I need to let the Holy Spirit work those out of my life still. It was nothing disgusting. It was just me being myself, interacting with people in my dream, and it wasn't the way that it operates in the kingdom of God. Isn't that subtle? Isn't that nice, the way he shows those things? But if I don't know that it's him teaching me something, I won't take that information and use it. Are you with me? How many of you have dreams? I mean the kind when you go to sleep at night, not a vision for your future. Many of you, okay? How many of you don't remember, if you have them, you don't remember them when you wake up? Oh, you poor people, what are you going to do? There's a help, there's a help, a present time of need. He also gives us the Bible, doesn't he? You all know that. And he says that if we would meditate on this, that he'll make our ways known to us, won't he? And how many of you have been quickened by the Holy Spirit, a verse out of the Bible, when you're thinking, praying, or doing something. Me too. See? So everyone can be a part of growing by the Holy Spirit if we will acknowledge Him as a vital person in our lives. You know, you can actually practice the presence of God. How many of you have heard that phrase before? Practicing the presence of God. You can do that. We do that here at different times, when Sunday evenings, Thursday in healing school, other times. In Sunday morning service, we don't really do it. It's a different kind of a crowd. How many of you are brand new and visiting for the first time and is not embarrassed to raise your hand? Nobody new, or at least nobody that wants to be acknowledged? Okay, good. Well, good. That's good, because not everybody likes to be acknowledged, and we don't need to embarrass anybody. So, the Holy Ghost, let's talk about Him. The baptism in the Holy Spirit, is that a controversial subject or what? Do you guys, are you ready to get your world rocked? Am I allowed to shake the foundation a little bit? So let's just see, anything that can be shaken will be shaken, right? I love that. I would rather know the truth than to operate not in the truth, right? I'll give you an example. Don't raise your hands. How many of you think that if you hear a tongue in the sanctuary during worship, that you give your tongue and then somebody else will interpret your tongue? Don't raise your hand. If you're one of those people that believe that, there's a possibility you don't know the Word of God in that area. Do you know three times in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he says that if you give a tongue, you're supposed to interpret it? Can you believe that? Three times in one chapter, he says that if you give a tongue, you're supposed to interpret it. Have you guys ever seen that in the Bible?
Yes.
Okay. Who has not seen that in the Bible? Let's go look at it anyway, because I told you not to raise your hands. Okay, now you're free to raise your hands. I release you. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I'm only using this as a jump-off place because of where I'm going to go next. Here's one place. Verse 13, chapter 14, verse 13. This is fun. I'll just show you this one. Ready? Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that someone in the room can interpret it. No, it doesn't. It says that he may interpret it. For if you pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. If you pray in a tongue, you can ask and get the interpretation for yourself or for others. How many of you pray in tongues and ask for the interpretation? Now you can raise your hands. Ooh, number went back down again. Do you know? Okay, let me ask another question. How many of you pray in tongues and do not ask for the interpretation because you don't think you're going to get it? A couple people. Thank you for being honest. Listen, it's a relationship we're talking about here. In the relationship, the more you get to know the person you're in a relationship with, the more you know your boundaries with that person. Do you know that? The closer the relationship is, the more you know their character, the way they think, the way they act, and the way they're going to respond. I need to think for just one second, because I want to know where the Lord wants to go. I see all of you looking at me with those eyes. Those eyes. Okay, Holy Spirit. Okay. How many of you sing in tongues? Wow, that's wonderful. Wonderful. A lot of you do. How many of you have had a resistance to speaking in tongues. You don't have to raise your hands. Oh, one did, okay. Just one person has resistance. Okay, good. Do you know, so now I'm going to go to the next one. Ready? Last question, hopefully. How many of you are comfortable ministering the baptism of the Holy Spirit to other people? 4 or 5. Okay. Would you guys like a little help on how to do that? Would you? Because it's a lot easier than you think it is. It really is a lot easier than you think it is. How many of you have done this? You've been in a dry environment like Colorado or someplace, and you do this on new carpet. You ever done that? Shuffle your feet on new carpet? What happens when you get next to somebody? Spring, a spark hits them, huh? Did that spark come from you? It just went through you, right? It just moved through you. Same with the Holy Spirit. You can't baptize anyone in the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit can. You know who actually baptizes you in the Holy Spirit? Jesus. Jesus is the one that ministers baptism in the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist said that I baptize but water, but there's one coming after me, and he baptizes in the Holy Spirit and fire. And that's the Lord Most High. He does that for you and through you. So you can baptize people. So, I've baptized a lot of people in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, working at Andrew Mack Ministries and going to all these GTSs. So, I've had to teach people how to do this. So, I'll teach you how to do it. Is that all right? So, there's a verse in the Bible that says, let's just go there, it's in Acts. I'm going to have to find it real quick. Give me 1 second. It's in Acts, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes by laying hands on a person. Peter, one second, let me just get to Acts. There it is. Peter and John, in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, let me back up. Remember Philip? Philip was an anointed man of God. Philip is the one that introduced Nathanael to Jesus, the man with no guile. Philip is the one that when they were out for 3 days and they were hungry and they needed to feed the people, and Jesus says, "You feed them." Philip said, "We don't have any food. You know how much money it's going to take to feed all these people?" That was Philip. Philip was the one that when Jesus says, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father," Philip was the one that said, "Show us the Father and we'll believe." Jesus said, "Have I been with you so long?" Philip was an active disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Philip, in chapter 8 of Acts, was sent to Samaria. Remember that? And he was ministering to people, doing a lot of miracles, and getting people healed. Bless God. And there was miracles and healings, and people were delivered of devils, and it was very exciting. They all started believing in God because of all the miracles that he did. And so they got what we call being born again, right? And then Philip goes away. Well, they find out that these people were born again, but they hadn't been baptized in the Holy Spirit yet. So they sent the apostles over, and Peter and John go there, and they start laying hands on people and getting them baptized in the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 8. Remember? Philip, interesting enough, felt no unction to baptize them in the Holy Spirit. Isn't that weird? Yet he was totally used from God. Just chapters later, he was what we call teleported or transported away and stood before the eunuch who was riding in a chariot, right? An angel sent him there. And the angel says, "Catch him. Run up there. Chase him down. Catch him. Go tell him." So Philip's running along, catches the chariot, asked the eunuch in the chair, goes, hey, do you understand what you're reading? He says, how can I unless someone shows me what's going on here? So he says, climb up here in the chariot. And he did. And he explained and unfolded salvation in the gospel to the guy. So then they passed by water. And what happens? He takes that eunuch, gets him baptized in water. And then Philip's gone. Off to the other part of the country. I want to let you know, it's okay if you minister to people and you love on people and you don't baptize them in the Holy Spirit. God will get it. God will. Don't feel any pressure that you have to do it. But if you do want to, the Holy Spirit's very willing to use you. It's very, very simple. So, they would lay hands on these people and they'd say, receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and they received it. And they would prophesy and pray in tongues. Praying in tongues does not mean you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. In other words, I'm saying it this way. If you don't speak in tongues, does that mean you have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit? No. Was Philip baptized in the Holy Spirit? Did it ever say he spoke in tongues?
No.
Never one time said Philip spoke in tongues. He may have, but it didn't say he did. What quantifies whether you have the Holy Spirit in you or not? What proves it?
Fruit.
Well, power is what the Bible says. It's power. When there's power that comes out of you, that's the Holy Spirit coming out of you. And some people say only one baptism, and once you get it in the water, that's good. And I want to let you know, there are people that are baptized in water, and they come out praying in tongues, and it's one event, and praise God for that. Some people, they come out of the water, and they just thank you, Jesus, and they don't pray in tongues at all. Don't make a rule out of it. It's a relationship, okay? Some people, my wife gave her testimony. Wow, she left the room. Am I that? Okay, well, I won't take it personal. She gave her testimony where she got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Hands were laid on her. And 3 weeks later, she was driving through an intersection. And she used to have a potty mouth. She doesn't anymore, praise God. And somebody cut in front of her at the intersection. And she got ready to give them a what for? And out of her mouth comes, Shanda Romano Makoa, and she prayed in tongues instead of saying something she would have regretted later on. How about that? You know why? Her attention wasn't on it. It just rose up out of her. If somebody lays hands, I know I'm kind of jumping around a little bit. Have grace for me. If somebody lays hands on you to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or you lay hands on somebody else to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they ask to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, guess what? They got it. They got it. Whether there's a manifestation or not. Why? Because God is faithful. God is good. Let's go to a verse you can use every time. Luke chapter 11. In Luke chapter 11, this is where Jesus did the Lord's Prayer, right? And he just gave the Lord's Prayer, and then he gave two examples. One of the guy that had the loaf of bread, it came at midnight, he needed some bread for his buddy, and he wouldn't get out of bed, but except for the fact the guy was so persistent, banging on the door, he finally got up and let him have it, right? And then it says to this, it says in verse 9, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. Isn't that kind of definite? If you ask, you receive. If you seek, you find. If you want the baptism in the Holy Spirit, you can have it. For everyone who asks, receives. Wow, that's pretty clear, isn't it? Everyone who asks, receives. And he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. If a son asks for bread from a father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? 12. Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So if you lay hands on somebody, if they say they want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, one thing that happens is sometimes pressure gets on you. Sometimes pressure gets on you that you have to perform and you have to pull it off. I want to let you know you don't. You don't. You don't do it. You are just the happy piece of wire that the electricity flows through. Are you with me? When I plug a piece of wire into an outlet, the appliance receives through the wire. Right? You're just the wire. You're just the conduit. Every time they'll receive. But here's the thing. Sometimes we're so bogged down in our brains and the way that we think that we can't let the inspiration and the flow of the Holy Spirit just flow through us. Just flow through us. Sometimes it's difficult to just relax and just let Him flow through us. Are you with me? Some of you, he's showing me right now, some of you have a hard time just flowing in the Holy Spirit. Some of you do. You're putting too much effort into it. You're making it too important. Stop it. If I asked you this, I want you to sing Happy Birthday. How many of you could do that? Not very many. Listen. No, listen, this is real. I'm being real with you right now. Ready? Some of you can just jump out and belt out Happy Birthday. Some of you, in a room full of people, won't. Some of you will just mimic, you'll just let your mouth move a little bit so in case somebody looks at you, it looks like you're singing. Others of you just will just sit there. You don't care. You're not going to sing, period. And you're not. If you're that way with Happy Birthday, how much more would it be of something that's spiritual? Here's the thing. No matter where you go, there you are. You can't stop being you. You don't think that something special, so many people think the Holy Spirit's going to grab you, shake you, and just shove words out of your body and out of your mouth. He doesn't do that. He's a gentleman. Some of you, if I say, let's sing Happy Birthday together, you'll just open your mouth wide and you'll just go with the flow and you'll just sing, right? Oh, no, I almost asked you to sing Happy Birthday. I'm not going to. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I almost did, though. So listen, some of you, when you lay hands on people for them to speak in tongues, it'll just erupt out of them and they'll just go like a geyser. Amen? But that's not how everybody does it. Some people will only sing Happy Birthday if you're looking right at them. Then they'll start singing then, but they won't any other time. The Holy Spirit, sometimes you only get a couple of words. You only just get a little bit of a syllable. How many of you had children? When that child started speaking, did it go, Mother, Father, I'm so thankful for you bringing me into this earth? Did they? Chances are they spoke one word and they said it twice. How redundant is that? They probably went one syllable and repeated it like mama, dada, nana. Now that's two syllables but a different word anyway. You get my point, right? And you're all excited. You go, my child, it talked, my child, she talked, he talked. Yay, they can talk, they can talk, they can talk, they can talk. And they only said one syllable and they repeated it, right? But they talked, didn't they? How can you say they talked? Because you know that as time goes on, it'll develop their vocabulary, right? And they'll do more and more and more and more. Same thing with being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Some little kids talk quick, Some little kids take a little bit longer to talk, but they will talk. Amen? So if somebody only gets a syllable or two, you encourage them. Fine, God will give you more. You just practice. You just practice. You just practice, and you can have more and more and more. Amen? Some people, if you say, pray with me in the Holy Spirit, that gives them a confidence that they can do it with you. And if they hear you praying, then they can kind of pray a little bit too. Now, I'm going to give you a method that helps that some people don't believe in, but I know it works great. I've done it with thousands of people. So you know what those, remember those old-fashioned Western movies? And they had the horse troughs out there? And at the end, they had those little metal things that water came out of, you know, with the handle. What do they call those? Pumps. And if there wasn't being used ever before, if it's brand new or if it's been sitting around for a long time, how do you get water? You can take that handle and do all you want, nothing happens, right? You prime the pump. What does that mean when you prime the pump? You put water in it. So you take water that's outside of the pump in another container and you pour it into that the mouth of that pump. And it goes into that pump and then it creates a vacuum, right? And as you pump that handle, that water that you primed it with creates the suction to bring it out. And then what comes out first? The water that you just poured in it. But what's right behind that water? The water that was in the hole, that was in the well. Now that water comes out right behind it, doesn't it? So, if that person is resistant and isn't getting anything, you just say, relax, relax, relax. You're trying too hard. I'm going to pray in tongues. I'm going to go nice and slow. And you just say what I say. Okay? I'm priming their pump. Why? Because I know that their brain is locked up. It won't let them go with the flow. It's resisting it. So what I'm going to do is give them words that it sounds like gibberish to them to let their brain realize they're okay. And then as they do, their tongues can come right behind that. Okay? So I start real slow. Shan, shan, da, da, la, fa, kun, da. And I start going slowly but surely faster and faster and faster. And I go, shanda, lunta, inna, kuta, basa, koshandara, mana, katarama, to. So I'm going so fast, their brain can't keep up. Pretty soon their brain stops and it comes right out of their spirit. And they start praying in tongues. The waterworks starts, the thank you Jesus starts, and all that kind of stuff. Does that help anybody? So, now here's another way. I've had people for 35 years, these are the worst ones, or they're the ones that have the most resistance. Baptist ministers and Catholic nuns. I'm being honest. They were the people that have had the greatest resistance. They want to pray in tongues. And you know what they do? They tarry. And they tarry. And they tarry. And they tarry. And they're waiting for God to override them and wash it through. And I've had people come to me 35 years. I can think of one priest, a Baptist minister, and one nun in particular. And so here's what I did with them. Go with me real quick to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. You were just there. Just to let you know that it's okay. I know you know it, but it's okay to see it. Are you with me? Verse 15. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with my spirit, and I will pray with my understanding. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding. All that's saying is this. You can sing in the Holy Spirit. You can sing in the Holy Spirit, just like you can sing happy birthday. And so, these people didn't know that. They're having a hard time because their brain has already learned that they can't do it that way. So you know what we did? We grabbed hands, and I said, so what we're going to do now, everybody, we're going to sing in the Holy Ghost. Tilt? What? You can do that? I said, sure you can. We held hands and we just started singing in the Holy Spirit. Everybody's singing a different tune, different words. But listen, where two or three of us are gathered in His name, He's there with us. Hallelujah. And as we started singing in the Holy Ghost, guess what? Singing right along with us. No resistance at all, because their brain didn't know that one. Singing comes from the other side of your brain. Singing comes from the creative side. When you're making up songs, that comes out of your right hemisphere. When you're singing lyrics to a song you know, comes out of the left hemisphere. So when you switched hemispheres, you step over into the creative side of the person. And so automatically making that shift allowed them to release and the Holy Spirit comes out. It's that easy. You want to do a little experiment with me? We only got a couple minutes, so we'll do it together, all right? This is really fun. It says that you can pray with your understanding and you can pray with your spirit. Isn't that interesting? I'll prove that to you. This is not what we're going to do. I'm just showing you right now. Do you know that you can, if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you can pray in tongues out of your mouth and read your Bible in your head? You can. You can pray in tongues out of your mouth, and read the words on the page. That's how you know that it's coming out of your spirit, because your brain, in your natural language, can't think something different than it's speaking. It can't. Or you can have a thought going in the background, but you can't be cohesive with it. You want to do an experiment? We'll do it. So, here's what I'm going to have you do. In your brain, in your mind, in your natural language, I want you to sing Happy Birthday. Okay? No one can hear you because it's the person in your mind. So let's practice. Ready? 3, 2, 1. Stop. How many were able to do it in your mind? Okay, now. We're going to do that again. We're going to sing Happy Birthday, and I want you to really focus and really think about it. Now, out of your mouth, we're going to count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Okay? So you focus on Happy Birthday. Ready? 3, 2, 1. It doesn't work, does it? You can try, but you can only pick one. Either you say the numbers or you sing Happy Birthday. You can't do two. But the Spirit bypasses your intellectual mind. It bypasses it. It comes out of your spirit. It doesn't come out of your brain. And that's why God gives us our heavenly language to speak in words that we don't understand. We don't understand it. You know why He does it that way? So you don't mess it up. Really? So you can pray what's really valuable, what's really important. Because when you pray in tongues, you pray out of your spirit. You know why? I've proved it. If I pray in English, you know what I pray about? The stuff I'm aware of. What's bothering me, what they're doing to me, the people that I know that are hurting. I don't think to pray for the things that I don't know about. Why? Because I don't know about them. So by praying in your heavenly language, by praying in your spirit, it's your spirit that prays, so God can have you pray whatever He wants. And now your prayers are perfect. And they edify. When you pray in your heavenly language for yourself, it builds you up. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 says. It says that it edifies you. Remember I was talking about fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit? Praying in tongues builds you up like a power generator, and it recharges your battery. So here's the thing. You guys know what a dimmer switch is? On lights, dimmer switch. When you turn it to the left, the light goes dimmer. When you turn it to the right, it goes brighter, right? When you pray in your heavenly language, it lets the darkness that's around you, the light gets brighter in you that moves the darkness further and further away, that lets you see in the spirit from beyond yourself further out. So you can start seeing in the heavenly realm around you with your spiritual eyes. And you can start hearing with your spiritual ears. Because as you pray in your heavenly language, it starts building you up, and it starts coming out of your spirit, and your spirit starts energizing your natural man and your soul. And as your natural man and your soul is getting energized, the presence of God is getting stronger and stronger. The pictures start coming. You start participating in the heavenly realm more and more and more. And then you know what? You can ask for the interpretation, and he can tell you right there on the spot. You don't have to ask for the interpretation. As you pray in your heavenly language, you're becoming more and more aware of the things of God. You know what a byproduct of that is? The anointing gets stronger. Gets stronger on your life. So then, as you're praying in your heavenly language and it's getting stronger and stronger, when you get around somebody and they ask for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's a piece of cake to just wham. They burst into flames right there in front of you. Their lives are changed. Seriously, their lives are changed. The tears start flowing. You know how many people, I can't even tell you because I don't know the number. There are so many people, you guys, that love the Lord and that go to church and are dying for a touch from God. They are drying up for a touch of God. And you can bring that if you just continue to build yourself, to be in intimate fellowship with the Holy Spirit, and just have a real relationship with Him. And as you do that, you will naturally be more connected in the Spirit, that when you go places, He can tell you, I want you to pray for this person. I want you to hand out one of those High Point business cards. Just talk to them. Nothing special. Just talk to him and give him one. Okay, that was shameful for me to do that. But you're more aware of the Holy Spirit, and you can start ministering more in the Spirit. Amen? Amen. Amen.